just hires a bunch of robots. Yep. You're just hiring your friends.
That's it.
You're just hiring your connections.
Why is there a toaster in this office chair? Well, you know, he fit the profile. That's
AI's hiring its connections. Huh?
That would yeah, not bad. Not bad. Not bad.
We'll get out of the way. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the kitchens open and our monthly veterans update all coming up for you on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the Middle East, where Israeli ground forces have moved into every part of the Gaza Strip now. Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari says the goal remains to wipe out Hamas.
We pursued them in northern Gaza. We're now pursuing Hamas in southern Gaza, too.
That includes the city of Khan Yunis, where thousands of Palestinian evacuees are under new orders to leave. CBS's Chris Livesay reports from Jerusalem.
The UN says some 1.7 million people are now displaced throughout the strip, warned to move closer and closer towards the border of Egypt. A boy trying to walk to safety says, "I'm not scared. We want to live. We want to live."
A temporary truce fell apart last Friday. Divers have discovered the wreckage of a U.S. Air Force aircraft and more bodies from last week's crash off the southwest coast of Japan. Pentagon correspondent Cammie McCormick.
The U.S. Air Force Special Operations Command says U.S. and Japanese teams had a breakthrough and located the Osprey main fuselage and found the bodies of five service members. Two have been recovered. One was also located on the day of the crash. Eight service members were on board when it went down.
The Supreme Court hears a challenge today to a nationwide settlement with Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family's role in the opioid crisis. Ellen Isaac's son overdosed on OxyContin.
What they've done is really wrong. It's totally wrong.
Yeah, the Sacklers would contribute up to $6 billion and give up ownership of the company. Police in L.A. County are looking for four masked men who used hammers to smash glass display cases and steal pricey watches and high-end handbags from a mall near the Santa Anita racetrack. Holiday shoppers ran for cover and hid in stores before police say the group got away in a white Infiniti sedan. Two airlines hope to become one. Alaska Air has reached a deal to buy Hawaiian for almost $2 billion. Alaska CEO Ben Minicucci.
This combination will allow us to better serve the people of Hawaii, expand Alaska's reach across the Pacific, and create an even stronger airline.
This year's crop of Kennedy Center honorees got their due in Washington last night.
Say a little prayer for you.
Gladys Knight honored Dionne Warwick. Ben Platt paid tribute to the Bee Gees' Barry Gibb. Son, Steve.
My dad, music is who he is. He lives and breathes it, start to finish.
Billy Crystal, Queen Latifah, and Renee Fleming were also honored this year. The event airs December 27th on CBS. S&P futures down 13. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill in the legislature let anyone who wins more than $1 million in the lottery to claim their prize anonymously. The idea is to protect lottery winners from people who press them for money. 18 other states do it that way. Strategists say the next Wisconsin Supreme Court race will be a referendum on the new majority's upcoming rulings. Waukesha judge and former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced he's running last week.
Each one of these races is different. Ann Walsh Bradley, for example, will have a record of ruling on many cases that will have come before her that touch on these issues.
That's Patrick Garassi. He helped run Janet Protasiewicz's campaign. He was on Upfront on WISN-TV. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Mayor Katie Rosenberg announces the city of Wausau has filed complaints against 15 PFAS manufacturers and 61 insurance companies. The national law firm, Napoli Shikolnik, has filed the lawsuits on the city's behalf. Attorney Paul J. Napoli stated, "The extent of the city of Wausau's PFAS is well documented, and we will vigorously pursue justice for the city and its taxpayers. The mayor has long worked to secure clean water for Wausau residents. Mayor Rosenberg said, Wausau residents and policymakers rallied to ensure that every Wausau Waterworks customer can trust what is coming out of their tap, but it came at great public expense. We are demanding that those responsible for the contamination are held accountable to the people of Wausau. There's a ceremony this week Thursday in Wisconsin Rapids to remember and honor a date which will live in infamy. Join members at VFW Post 2534 at 10 a.m. on December 7th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, James, and a habbering Seth with us. Seth tried to close the door and almost hung himself.
Oh, my.
Got hung up on the...
Careful over there.
It's all good. Let's go.
It's too late to replace you right now.
Yeah, I know.
A little bit. Although we got Tom Heiser coming in soon. We might be able to throw Tom into that season.
At least you fill the spot, you know.
We will have our monthly veterans update with Tom in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. We're going to touch on some entertainment news. Our best dog names. Best dog names of 2023. That's all coming up for you. But it is in the 9 o'clock hour on a Monday. We all know what that means. Something good.
Welcome to the Kitchens Open here on WFHR, the original show that I put together weekly. My co-hosts get the script sometimes at the last minute, and they have no time for rewrites, giving them little chance to express what they actually think.
Hey now, that's not true. I say what I think whenever I want.
Well, what they don't know is that I'm keeping score whenever they stray off the script.
What? There's points? How did we not know this?
I knew about it.
Wait, why does he get to know and I don't?
Because he doesn't have any points.
Oh, but he strays off the script all the time.
Actually, if we're keeping score, I believe you'd hold the record for not following the script.
Hold up. That has less to do with my desire to read it correctly and more to do with my mild dyslexia. I've explained this more than once.
Now that I've pitted you two against each other, we can continue.
Ah, yes. We're the adversary for a change.
Is that an insult against Mel or a compliment to me or both? I'm not really sure how to feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this could all just be a distraction. But let's get to our topic for today. We're going to talk about mint.
Ah, yes. Genus, mentha, probably coined by the Greek philosopher Theophrastus, circa 371 BC, speaking of dyslexia, 371 BC to 287 BC, who described several species of the plant in his literary work, Inquiry into Plants.
There you go, wandering off script again, just showing off your big brain.
Now, you can show off your knowledge of the Greeks if you'd like to.
Well, if I remember correctly, in Greek mythology, the name Mentha probably refers to Minthi. She was a river nymph who became jealous when her husband dishonored her with Persephone. Minthi then claimed she had a better form and was prettier than Persephone. In retaliation, Demeter, Persephone's mother, trampled Minthi into the ground.
Yikes.
A plant sprang from the earth where Minthi was destroyed, and that was called mint in honor of her.
That's one story. Another tells the tale that Minthi became Hades' lover. So Hades' wife, Persephone, tore her into pieces. But Hades turned his dead lover into the fragrant plant that now bears her name.
And now I know why my parents' church frowned on teaching Greek mythology. Anyway, back to the point. The NIH National Library of Medicine has an in-depth article called A Descriptive Overview of the Medical Uses Given to Mintha Aromatic Herbs Throughout History. The article says mint has been used for medicinal purposes since ancient Babylon. During the Middle Ages, increased knowledge of the medical uses of the mint came from Byzantine physicians.
But the oldest written records that refers to mint are attributed to King Hammurabi of ancient Babylon. The records from 1800 BC show that mint was prescribed mostly for stomach issues.
The Egyptians also used mint for indigestion. Dried peppermint leaves were found in Egyptian pyramids dating back to 1000 BC.
It is believed the conquests of Alexander the Great from 336 to 323 BC helped spread the knowledge of the herb. Later, the Crusades did the same.
Because of its fragrant scent, mint was used during early times in embalming funerary rites, mostly for the rich.
It was recently found among the embalmed remains of King Richard the Lionheart, who lived from 1157 to 1199.
They also use mint to manufacture perfumes and as a masking taste in other medicines to cover displeasing medicines like laudanum or morphine.
Back to mint as a medicine, it was used for everything from improving digestion to removing parasites to an antidepressant.
Now, some of these applications do work and are used today. There have been recent scientific publications showing the usefulness of mint to the digestive system. Mint oil possesses substances that increase gastric emptying to improve digestion and relax the bowel. It can even be used to reduce post-operatic chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. Personally, I've used it topically to help with an upset stomach.
Topically?
Yes. Now, you want a high-quality peppermint essential oil like Young Living or doTERRA. I use about 7 to 10 drops and just rub it onto my stomach. Now, you want to use a glove or wash your hand a lot afterwards, or just be really careful and not touch your face.
Oh, yeah.
Because it will burn.
Yes.
It makes your stomach feel really warm, and pretty soon, well, suffice it to say, I would start to feel better soon.
Mm. Ew. Let's change the subject. Toothpaste. Did you know that mint was used in a recipe for toothpaste in the 4th century? Whoa. It appeared on Egyptian papyrus. The recipe calls for 1 drachma of rock salt, 2 drachmas of mint, 1 drachma dried iris flower, and 20 grains of pepper.
Was that 2 drachmas of mint or 1 drachma? Let me write
that. 2 drachmas of mint. Come on, man.
Would you want pepper in your toothpaste?
Yeah, no.
Everyone, that, some interesting breath back then when people were brushing teeth. You smell like pepper.
I'm a bit insane about brushing my teeth. Like, I brush them at least 3-4 times a day. And I've enjoyed some of the different, like, toothpastes are like the charcoal kind and some of these.
I like cinnamon.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know about the pepper, though. I don't know about that. I don't know.
I wonder what the purpose of the iris flower was.
Yes, I thought the same thing. I was wondering the same thing.
That, maybe just for color?
Color, or maybe it was another smelling thing. It's another aromatic thing, too. So I don't know.
It could have been both reasons. Yeah. Both could have been the reason.
Interesting mix of flavors there, too. What it tasted like.
It's fascinating.
Salt, mint, and pepper.
Yeah.
How long we have worried about our breath. If you think about that part, like there's a lot of other things back in the day that we had to get on. Like, hey, we need to figure like this out, this disease. But first, we got to get our breath in check.
Yeah.
We got to get that
in check. And oral hygiene in general, because teeth were important. I mean, the longer you kept your teeth, the longer you would live because you could eat food.
Yeah. Someone please, I can just imagine a scene. Can someone please invent Altoids, please? Someone?
It's not that hard, I think, for some people to wrap their mind around. Well, you know, at one point in time, if you broke your leg, it, just like a horse, you were done. Yeah. If you lost all your teeth, you might have been
done. Somebody's going to have to mash your food up for you.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of that. There wasn't. It's hard, really hard to come across baby food back then. It's really.
All right. Well, we've talked about mint enough as a medicine. Let's talk about mint as a food.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Peppermint cookies, here we come.
Don't forget about peppermint gum.
Gum is not a food.
No, but according to the Mint Industry Research Council, 45% of peppermint and spearmint oil produced in the U.S. is used for flavored chewing gum.
Mm.
Oh, here's an ancient Roman recipe for boiled ostrich with meat, mint.
I'm not sure that's food either.
Mm. And it doesn't sound like Kevin wants to hear it either.
I know. He doesn't sound interested. According to openculture.com, ostrich was considered as exotic as an elephant until the 1980s. Since then, it's become available in supermarkets.
Where do you do your shopping?
Actually, I Googled it, and there's several places you can buy ostrich in Wisconsin. In fact, there was an ostrich farm near Toma when I lived there.
Yep, only someone from Toma. Well, I guess if you want meat that's red like venison and tastes more like beef or veal, but comes from a bird, ostrich is the meat for you.
Used to have an ostrich farm around here in Rapids, too.
Hmm.
I'm curious what the recipe calls for.
Hmm. Well, you'll need pepper, mint, roast cumin, celery seeds, dates, honey, vinegar, passum, which is a dessert wine, garum or anchovies, and a little oil.
Ooh.
You bring all of that to a boil, then pour it over the cooked ostrich. The recipe says you can boil the meat, but you could also fry or roast it. Hmm. It's called ostrich ragu.
Ooh, a ragu. Haven't heard a lot from those for a while.
Yeah,
I think it was a very common dish, though.
Wow.
In ancient, you know, not like ancient times, but like
right.
colonial America, mm-hmm. that was
fascinating.
Did anybody else, when Melissa said possum, thought she meant possum because of our earlier...
possum of the braid, yeah.
Possum of the braid, yeah. I apologize.
Ostrich and possum?
Bit much.
I don't know if we need both.
Let's not mix our meats here. Yeah. So, anyway.
I've always wanted to try ostrich, though, just out of curiosity. Like as I was saying, there was a ostrich farm, I think it was a small one, kind of on the outskirts of Rapids here for quite mm-hmm. a while. I don't believe it's there anymore. And I first saw it, like, I think, I want to say during the, like, this time of year, and being just fascinated, like, wait a minute, ostriches can handle this weather?
Did I just see an ostrich?
Yeah.
And, no, it was an emu.
Yeah,
sorry.
We were riding our bikes and it rode past and stuff, and then they said, an ostrich? Yeah.
Weird. It's a big bird, whatever it is. Oh. Well, there's got to be other things to do with mint, like cookies.
Or pesto.
What? No.
Actually, it pairs well with basil and gives your pesto pasta dishes a pop of refreshing flavor.
You can also add mint to your roasted potatoes.
Potatoes?
Mm. Sure. You just chop them and toss it with a little oil, salt, and pepper before you pour it over your diced potatoes and pop them in the oven. Roast at 425 degrees for 30 to 35 minutes.
Maybe, but potatoes are a poor substitute for cookies.
How about a Maalouf salad?
Now you're just making things up.
Actually, I'm not. This is a Lebanese cabbage salad.
Mm.
Oh, of course. Middle Eastern coleslaw.
Exactly. It's just cabbage, fresh mint, spring onions, lemon juice, apple cider vinegar, and a tahini, which is a sesame seed paste. It comes together so easily and keeps for several days in the fridge.
Maybe tasty, but definitely not cookies.
Okay. How about a mint bath?
No, not food.
It could be if you eat the mint leaves.
Oh, that's gross, Melissa.
Oh, come on. The refreshing mint, it wakes up your skin and your senses. It's the spa experience for less.
I'm leaving.
All right. We'll stop teasing.
Why are you guys ganging up on me anyway?
I can't help it. You're just too fun to pick on.
I'll admit, I'm good at all things, even being the butt of your jokes. That's fine. I can take it.
It's not my fault, Seth. She made me do it. It was in the script, I swear.
Did you hear something? I could have sworn I heard an annoying buzzing sound coming from the other side of the room from a being I'm not acknowledging right now.
Well, I'm not acknowledging you after you beat me in fantasy hockey.
All right. Now I'm going to share the absolute best recipe to use mint. These peppermint candy cane cookies. All you need is 1 cup of sugar, 3.5 cups of flour, 1 cup of butter or margarine, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/2 cup of milk. We've got 1/2 teaspoon of red food coloring, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, some vanilla, 1 teaspoon of finely crushed peppermint candies, 1 teaspoon of peppermint extract, 2 tablespoons of sugar, and an egg. So all you need to do is stir together sugar, butter, milk, vanilla, all the ingredients, into a large bowl. Stir the flour, baking powder, and salt. That's the dry side. Mm-hmm. Divide dough in half. Stir food coloring into 1/2 and cover and refrigerate. So you have one that's regular dough colored and then one that's red. Mm. Stir together peppermint candy. And I'm trying to read the writing. Who wrote this? 2 tablespoons sugars, and then set that aside. For each candy cane, shape 1 round teaspoon of dough for each half into a four inch rope by rolling back and forth over a flat surface. Place 1 red and 1 right rope side by side. Press together lightly and twist. Place an ungreased cookie sheet. Cut top of cookie down. Curve the top of the cookie down to form a handle. I'm really trouble reading that. Okay. Then bake 9 to 12 minutes or until set and very lightly brown, and then immediately sprinkle over the candy mixture on top of the cookies.
That sounds amazing.
Ooh. It's good stuff.
I tried one of these last year, yes. And I will admit, for baked good with mint, they're really good.
They are excellent, aren't they? I agree. Mm-hmm. What do you have against mint flavored baking goods, by the way? They're the best, and I might add, should be the only use for mint.
Except gum.
Did you hear something?
Sad face.
Personally, I like mint chip ice cream.
Ooh, another good thing. Oh, yes. Oh, if you're craving that, it's the only thing that'll satisfy
you. All right, I'll have to agree with you on that one.
Yes, I'm back.
Nope.
Well, but you responded to me.
No, I responded to Melissa.
Well, you're responding to me right now.
Only because you're in the same room and it's getting awkward.
It doesn't matter. I'll take the win. Sometimes it's a little victories in life.
You know, I think it's a victory. We made it to the end of this segment. You're both negative in points, by the way.
Oh, of course we are.
Hey, I kind of saw that one.
I don't think the scoring person on this is very fair.
Me and Drew Carey.
Not objective.
Anyway, thank you for joining us today on The Kitchen's Open. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor for this segment, please reach out to Ashley or, you know, maybe Kevin. He's made a lot of noise during this segment today. But you can get a hold of Ashley by calling Pam at the office there, 715-424-1300, and she'll put you in touch with Ashley. And with that, we'll close The Kitchen.
God, that was fun. That was a great one. That was good, Melissa. Nicely done. Thank you so much for all the work you put into that. We appreciate you. Be sure to reach out to our sales staff and be a sponsor for this amazing segment. Be a part of this fun segment that we get to do every Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. Kitchens will be open next Monday. We'll be back with more. We're going to have our friend Tom Iser coming in with a Veterans Update coming up right here on WFHR.
Tell me something.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy this afternoon with highs around 36. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. 26 tonight, chance of snow showers. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James Jan, joined by Melissa and Seth. And we are joined right now by our great friend, Mr. Tom Heiser, with our monthly Veterans Update. Tom, wondering where Melissa is. Tom, always good to see
I'm
you.
I'm here. I'm here.
Always good to see you, sir. How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. We made it through November with Veterans Day and all that stuff, so we made it.
Yeah, and I want to thank you again, Tom, for not only getting us the information about Veterans Day, but all the great things that you and so many of our vets were a part of in this area. We greatly appreciate all that when we have a chance to thank you guys and such, we appreciate even just as much as all that our vets do in this area.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
We've got some good stuff coming up, and one of them is happening today, Tom.
Yes, we have the Vets Breakfast, which I don't get to go to, but...
you got the short end of the stick on this one, hanging out with us instead.
My credit card looked good, though.
That's good.
Yeah, it's at Grace's Restaurant. It's the first Monday of every month, and it starts at 9 o'clock a.m. down there, and it's a good get-together.
And this is every month, Tom. This is so if you weren't able to make it today, you can make next month.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Good to
put
know.
That on
good
your calendar.
Yeah. Make sure to do that, everybody. You sent over a couple of forwarded a couple of emails to me about December 7th. I was looking forward to talking with you about this.
Okay, well, it's going to be a busy day. Mm-hmm. At 10 o'clock, the VFW Post 2534 out in Redden Road, you know, on the way to the cheese curds where the big tank is, right there. But we have an event out there that we've been doing for years and years, and we are one of the few VFW posts in the state of Wisconsin that still does this. We have a flag that was flown over the USS Arizona. Mm-hmm. We raise that, and we lower it as part of the ceremony. Mm-hmm. We have a group comes from Plover. Mm-hmm. It's a naval group, and they do a little ceremony. It's not a real long ceremony. but it's just a remembrance mm-hmm. of what happened on that day. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty busy with that. And this year, we've got something really special. Mm-hmm. We have a friend that works at the museum. He's a historian over there. And he has a uniform from a gentleman that served on the USS Reed, which was a destroyer in Pearl Harbor that day. And they did actually shoot down a plane.
Wow.
So having his uniform and his dog tags is going to be...
That gave me good. Yeah, when you said it earlier, it gave me goosebumps. Yeah, yeah. That's incredible.
It's really neat. And
it's just incredible to not only have these things because of the history and things getting lost or anything like that, but especially when it comes to an event like Pearl Harbor, that anything, to be blunt, what survived? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, to have any remnants is amazing.
Exactly. You know, saved after all these years. What's really interesting about that uniform, the gentleman that owned it was out of Detroit. Mm. You know, however, his career, he stayed on the Reed until I think it was mid-1944, and then 3 months later, that ship was sunk.
Wow.
And then his career, he actually ended up on the USS Wisconsin.
Oh, interesting.
What are the odds? That's beautiful. I appreciate you sending this over too, Tom. Looking at this photo of this, it's moving. It's very moving. Yes. It's a uniform just on a hanger, and you don't think that it might hit you like it does. But even the picture of it, I can't imagine being in person with it how it would.
Exactly. That's something. It was given to me to take to the VFW post, and I have it in my garage and my breezeway, and it's just awesome. You look at it. And, you know, the medals that are on there, like good conduct medals, Pacific Theater medals, American Defense, Campaign Medal, World War II Victory Medal, and actually went to Japan, so he occupied Japan. So he's got that medal. So you look at that and you go, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Impressive.
It's just very incredible, very. And there is a luncheon to go with this as well that we wanted to make sure to mention.
Right. What is occurring is we used to have a little luncheon out at the VFW post. However, the... Elks Lodge came up and said, we will have a get-together at noon at their facility, and it's free to vets. And if people want to come, I suppose there's a little charge. I don't have that information with me. Mm-hmm. But you want to talk to vets? They're everywhere.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great opportunity, too.
We have Korean War vets. We don't have any World War II vets left anymore. Mm-hmm. So the Korean War vets are there, Vietnam vets, the Afghan, Iraqi vets are all around.
I lost my papa recently, who was in World War II in Korea, and I remember one of the as it turns out, one of the later last conversations I had with him was about the Korean War and about how as we lose more and more World War II vets, his hope was that we would get to, well, maybe we'll finally start giving some respect to the Korean War veterans.
Correct.
That they kind of got lost in the shuffle with things and such. His words. Now that we have the memorial for the Korean War and these things, that here is some hope that we bring more attention to that war, to the people that sacrificed for that war.
If you ever look at that memorial, I've seen it a couple of different times out in Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
the sculpture on that is utterly fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, you look at those statues, and they're looking at you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's...
I imagine, because even just seeing the images of them when they first came out and everything was quite moving. I can't imagine actually being in person. Again, one of those situations where you're in person with something, and it hits your senses differently, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. It really does. It's something. I had an uncle that was in Korea, so it's, interesting to say the least.
Yeah. American Heroes Cafe is coming up. Looking forward to these, as we always do.
Right. That's going to be December 13th at Crossview Church.
Yes. New location.
New location.
Yeah, is so this the first one at the new location? Is the second one? It's only just recently moved, right?
Yeah. It was at the Lowell Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went to Crossview. And I went to the Elf Club.
Yeah.
And now it's back to Crossview. So there it's kind of like a boomerang.
Yes. It got around to where it was supposed to be. Yeah. But as always, we encourage people to check out Heroes Cafe. That's a great one. We also have a meeting coming up that same day, the American Legion Post 9.
Right. It's their monthly meeting at 7 o'clock. And then on the 14th, the Vietnam Veterans Chapter 101 monthly meeting. We start at 6. And then what's really cool is on Saturday, December 16th, is wreaths across America, replacing those at King Cemetery. And there are a lot of people that show up for that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting when you watch the people put the wreaths by the headstones, you can tell the vets, they'll salute it.
Yeah, wow. I bet. Yeah, yeah. That's
very cool.
That's very cool.
Huh. Yeah, I just received a message from a friend of mine from high school. She's going to be there. And it's from a totally different community.
Wow.
Wow.
So from all everybody those, shows up for these things, and especially an event like this one. Yeah,
right.
This and time of year especially, too.
One of the people that's in charge of it is from Wisconsin Rapids. He was in charge for a long time, then he retired, and then he unretired.
such the case. That's going to be a great event. We're looking forward to that. We'll be talking about that one leading up to it. And I got another event next, the very next day.
Right on Sunday is a joint VBA, a VFW Christmas party out at the VFW post. If anybody's interested in attending it that is a Vietnam veteran or a member of the VFW, contact the chairman, the president or commander of your group, whether it be Hank Herman or Sean Plant. On December 21st, we have the VFW meeting at 6 o'clock. And American Legion also meets that night. They meet at 7. And then going into January.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy to even think about. Yeah.
We're having October.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're having a blood drive, diversity blood drive out at the VFW post from 9 to 1. You can register online for that. They really appreciate that. So we're staying busy, and the December 7th event is, it's really, really cool.
It's going to be something that you're not going to want to miss. You're going to want to attend this. You're going to want to take it in. And especially not just at this time of year and all this, but as an American, you're going to want to experience this event. Trust me.
Right. Yeah. They, you know, it's a short ceremony. They, you know, ring the bell, which you know, in the Navy has, you know, significance. And just a remembrance of the people that passed and that are still in the water out there.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you say, okay, December 7th, we remember that because we're of that age group. But that's ancient history to high school kids.
Right, right. Yeah, it's all important. It is. We can't go forward without rewinding, without knowing the past, without understanding how we got here. And a great set of information there, Tom. I always appreciate you joining us and looking forward to next month already. Tom, real quick, I was talking to a listener before about this. With some of the meetings that go on, the monthly veterans meetings, if somebody is not able to attend, are they able to get notes from that meeting or catch up on that meeting at all?
If they would contact the commander, we do Zoom our meetings.
Okay.
Because we do have some people that are working. Well, they shouldn't be. We're Zooming when they're working, but anyway.
You know,
family commitments, you know, things like that. But many of the meetings are Zoomed. I know the VFW does. I don't know if anybody else has picked up on it, but we're doing that.
Yeah. Okay. Tom, if people have other information or they want to follow up on some of these things, how can they get a hold of you?
Okay, they can call the VFW post here in Rapids at 715-600-0401. And our Senior Vice, Sean Plant, answers the phone, and he can direct people to any information that they need. He knows all the other veterans organizations, their commanders, presidents, whatever they are, and he can direct them in that direction.
Right. Always appreciate you, Tom. Thank you so much for the information. You have a great Christmas and we'll and a good New Year's, and we'll talk to you next year.
Happy Hanukkah, young man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We're going to get to some state and local news, and we'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Airports around Wisconsin are getting money for safety and infrastructure upgrades. The Federal Aviation Administration is giving out $38 million in airport improvement grants. The money will upgrade runways, terminals, and roads. There are also plans for sustainability projects. The grants are part of a growing list of Wisconsin projects as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. The Wisconsin Senate's new top Democrat says her goal is to make sure every member of her party has a voice in the legislature. Democrats elected Senator Dianne Hesselbein as their new minority leader Friday. Hesselbein is from Middleton. She was elected to the Assembly in 2012 and to the Senate in 2022. Hesselbein most recently served as the Democratic Caucus Vice Chair. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A canine respiratory illness has been reported in over a dozen states. While it hasn't been confirmed in Wisconsin yet, experts say it's a good idea to keep an eye on your furry friends. Avoid mingling with other dogs, make sure they're up to date on their vaccinations, and watch your pets for runny eyes or nose, coughing, and sneezing. If your dog experiences these symptoms, you may want to contact your local vet. It's opening day at Granite Peak and the 86th winter of sliding down Rib Mountain. Three lifts will be running today from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Comet 6, Blitzen 3, and Blizzard Carpet. The first 50 people in line on Comet will get a custom blackstrap tube. Seven trails will be open, covering 38 acres of the park. They're still making snow on several trails. Goggles and hoods are recommended on the lifts. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy this afternoon with highs around 36. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. 26 tonight, chance of snow showers. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR.
Rocking around Christmas.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us over here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Big thank you to our friend Tom Heiser for joining us with that monthly veterans update.
Very good.
Tom would be
and
back.
Can I... Oh, go ahead, James.
Tom will be back in January.
Back in January. And I have to throw out a correction because obviously I didn't check all the boxes this morning and get all my news updated. Granite Peak is not open again until this coming, you know, 8th of Friday.
Oh, okay.
Because that one did not get updated. They're closed Monday through Thursdays, but the canine respiratory illness is still going around, so watch out for that.
All right. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Great work as always, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of entertainment news here, just to touch on real quick. People, and I found this a little bit surprising to me that people didn't seem to realize this was not common knowledge. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason I wanted to cover this story is hopefully to spread the information about this. We're in a day and age where we no longer really buy DVDs and CDs. We don't have physical copies of our entertainment anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We download most things.
Right.
That people are starting to catch on that if you, quote, own a digital copy of a song, an album, a movie, or a TV show, what you actually own is nothing.
Exactly.
Add PlayStation users, and PlayStation users are finding this out after learning that tons of shows from Discovery are being yanked from their libraries, even though they quote-unquote purchased them.
Ugh.
Discovery recently merged with Warner Brothers, meaning that as of January 1st, you can't watch their stuff on Sony's PlayStation anymore. The shows that are disappearing include Mythbusters, Naked and Afraid, Shark Week, Cake Boss, Say Yes to the Dress, Deadliest Catch, Four Weddings, and a lot more.
Wow.
Oh, those are really popular shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is, of course, one of the ways people take in a lot of their streaming services nowadays is through their video game, you know, units.
Mm-hmm. Entertainment centers almost anymore. Yeah. They for really everything.
Have,
yeah.
I have a PS4 that I got a couple of years ago, and I've used it quite a bit. I have barely used it to play video games. It crushes my soul to say that, but being honest, in the topic here and everything, I've used it more for other purposes than mm-hmm. I have for playing video games, which my Red Dead Redemption is crying for me to play again. But
Someday.
One of these days. What I really want to focus here on is the idea of, quote, purchasing something or owning something. Mm-hmm. This is the same as it's always been. You want to own something, you have to physically have it.
Yes.
Otherwise, it will always, no matter what you spend, it will always be the property of the people that gave it to you.
Mm-hmm. And especially with digital things, and I'm sure most people know this, there's something out there called DRM, Digital Rights Management, which means that because there's a law that says that Amazon, for instance, if they are streaming something there, or if you purchase, quote unquote, purchase mm-hmm. a season of like a TV show, you can only watch it on their equipment, not their equipment, but their video service.
Streaming right. service.
You cannot move it to like Apple or something like that. Right. You cannot do that, which means
or download it.
Yeah, exactly. They control it, and they can do stuff just like this.
Yeah,
because they have all the control, and there's nothing you can do about it. Even if, like in this case, you paid money in order to own these digital copies, mm-hmm. guess what? You really don't.
No.
That's ridiculous that they mm-hmm. can just yank it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
No.
It's people speak with their money. People speak with their you know, certainly their vote as well. But mm-hmm. in day-to-day life, it's we do our voting with our money. We show you how we feel about these things. PlayStation's shareholders have already felt this, have already been hit by this. And it's not even January 1st yet.
Right.
And they've already gotten hit by this. They've already lost subscribers and numbers. And this is a network that has already been in, like, trouble. Like, it feels like the only time PlayStation comes up is if they've been hacked or if something bad. And I'm a fan of PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I just got done saying I have a PlayStation 4.
Right.
I guess I didn't need to say that. So I don't want to sound like I'm just bad-mouthing it, but I mean, it's just left and right that it seems like the only time they come up is with something like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a shelf life, man. That is not, you know, you lose this many listener or this many subscribers because of this reason.
Right.
And so many because of this reason. And so many because of this reason. And pretty soon, meanwhile, Nintendo just has to sit back and just like, go ahead and just keep messing up, man. I'm going to make some more Mario games.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and of course, PlayStation is owned by Sony, which is a gigantic corporation that their Sony Music owns like a third of all the songs on the planet, and mm-hmm. they have so what incentive do they have not to to throw their weight around?
Yeah,
it's not going to hurt them if a few people, you know, I'm not going to do PlayStation anymore. They're like, who cares?
Yeah,
look at what else we got, man. We got DRM and all this stuff.
And here's the thing where, because Seth is exactly right, that the runners of Netflix, any of these companies, that's the way they've been feeling. We can lose 10 or 20 of you, we're fine. But that has been adding up mm-hmm. over the last couple of years. And now Netflix is looking, is scrambling, is panicking.
Yeah, starting to feel the pinch now, yeah.
You know it's bad when Bob Iger and Disney are pulling their hair out. Yes. That you know things are tough, but here's the thing that I keep coming back to with this, and hopefully this, you know, evens itself out, but I don't know if that's really going to realistically happen. This, you mentioned that PlayStation, this is owned by Sony. Mm-hmm. Sony, we all understand, our whole lives, Sony has been a gigantic corporation.
Yes.
But they own a lot of different properties in a lot of different mm-hmm. fields. And when you own so much and you have so many people and everything, you're not going to get things correct. Meanwhile, Nintendo focuses on video games.
Exactly.
They focus on one thing, and they're able to get that right because they focus on one thing. Like,
right.
So these conglomerates that have to own everything, I don't see that. No, that's certainly not going to stop anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't help us as consumers. Like,
no.
Now that this company owns this company, we can make this said product cheaper. Great. But it ain't going to be better. It isn't going to be that good. It isn't going to be all these things and stuff. But hey, we're lowering the prices. That's how they think they can get us. Mm-hmm. So they lower the price of this. They lower the price of that. And everything's going to be fine.
Introductory offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then they hook you. And then they got you. And then they can jack up the price. Yep.
It's enough to just make you say, what the what, man? And what the Muppet, right? I mean, just, you know, it's times like this where I'm like, man, I could really use a podcast that just lets me just relax and release. I don't have to think about the world and its troubles. I'm just going to sit back and talk about these furry little creatures, these Muppets.
These people, you know, these things that sock, basically socks with hands in them. That's what they are.
Oh, if only there was a podcast. That could take you away from the day everyday life and troubles. I present to you What the Muppet.
I'm with you there.
Really? That's where this was going?
I have to say, if you're looking for James Maloff to not be serious, that's something. That is something, man.
It may be the only evidence of me not being serious there ever is going to be.
It's true. It's a fun thing. I mean, this is a fun show.
It's a Muppet Monday, everybody. If you are curious, go ahead and check out What the Muppet. Greatly appreciate this listenership. I have no doubt that you guys are a big part of why this podcast has risen so high and everything. Mm-hmm. Be careful. This could have two folds. One, it gets too big and you get rid of me.
That's true. You know, and he's Muppet all the time.
I'm just doing that the rest of my career or whatever. But it's also two. That may be a way to get rid of me. So you go ahead and popularize it.
If you don't like James, go ahead. Get those subscribe.
Really appreciate everybody helping us find the Rainbow Connection with us every week. Join us for a great episode of What the Muppet wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're interested in seeing the visual of this, Bree records these, and you can catch the YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in there What the Muppet, and that'll pop right up. And thank you for subscribing and playing along with all of us.
Yeah,
we have fun with this.
Mm-hmm. Good
Got
stuff.
Really good one lined up for you today, everybody. I have to say that as we keep doing these, they are only getting better, and longer.
Isn't that the way it happens with podcasts? Yes. They suddenly start getting longer and longer.
We started out like, make it 20 some minutes.
Yeah,
like the last one we just did, like 59.
Oh,
like,
wow!
Must lots to talk about.
It's been good. It's been good stuff.
Excellent.
Thank you, everybody, for following along on that. We'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're talking dog names. it's coming up.
We need to talk cat names.
Yeah.
Especially one cat's name.
No, don't say it. He's sleeping now.
I won't say it.
We'll be back with more here at WFHR's Morning Show.
The Todd Alma Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power, our veterans.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 36 this afternoon, under overcast skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, chance for snow showers 26. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Joy to the world.
Come, let earth receive the King.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio, getting everybody in that season this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Got nothing but fun lined up for you. And we're talking dog names at Rover.com. They released its annual list of the most popular dog and cat names. And once again, everyone is naming their dogs Charlie.
Charlie,
Max, Luna, and Bella. And they're naming their cats Kevin.
Just us.
Just them.
Luna, Milo, Oliver, and Leo.
You
know, I mentioned Oliver.
Oh, did you?
Voted down.
It's not a bad one.
Leo is a perfect name for a cat.
I agree,
you know, the whole lion thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm with you there.
The more interesting parts of the report are the unique names people are choosing. And in 2023, names inspired by foods and drinks are big.
What?
For dogs, the name beer is up 330%.
Jeez. Oh, man.
Other trending names include green bean, Cheerios, s'more, tiramisu, parsley, ice cream, baguette, and a few honorable mentions include Eggsy Benedict and Everything Bagel.
What poor dog is named Parsley?
Well,
Parsley, come on.
I kind of like parsley.
As a side note, these people have not been, they are not allowed to name their children.
No, they are not.
You have given
I
up
do
the
also
rights.
Like green bean.
Green bean isn't bad. I'll give them that one.
Tiramisu.
Tiramisu.
But when that dog or cat gets lost, that's going to be a real tiramisu. Running around the neighborhood yelling tiramisu. Your tongue's going to get told.
Beer would be worse.
Beer would be very
running
worse.
Around hollering beer.
Yeah, yeah.
People you have neighbors coming out. What, you need a Guinness? What's going on? Man. I'm sorry. Not here. Do you need a Miller Lite?
James has finally lost it. He's
running around saying beer. Yeah,
he's that desperate. He doesn't even care what kind of beer. Just give him a beer.
I suppose you could name him after. I believe I had a my dad had an old Navy buddy who had a Schnauzer by the name of Coors.
Nice.
So you also know his favorite beer as well. So yeah.
For cats, Prosecco is up 793%.
Prosecco.
Some other trending names include Chive, Baby Bell, Stuffing, Starbucks, Dijon, Sausage, and Morel, like the mushroom.
The Morel mushroom, yeah.
Morel.
Yeah. Morel, yeah. Seltzer, Tea, Velveeta, and Burger is also a popular.
Burger the cat.
The reports are very comprehensive and include pet names supposedly inspired by sports, TV, movies, music, and video games, and British Royals, and all this other
ooh,
stuff.
I'm going to get a dog and name him Prime.
Yeah, nice.
Coach
nice.
Prime,
yeah,
maybe?
I don't
know.
I like that. Nicely done, yes.
Well, full disclosure, my parents have a cat, and they did not name the cat. This is the cat's name when they rescued it, but it was Cheddar.
Nice.
And apparently all of the cats in the litter were named after cheeses. So they ended up with Cheddar, which is actually pretty good. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that's good though. That's
there was
good.
Like, yeah, a couple, there was a Colby, I think was one of them, and a couple other ones. So yeah.
Pepper Jack.
I like this. I like that. Yeah. That's pretty good. You can go to rover.com to see the complete list if you'd like, rover.com. Melissa, I'm looking, and I did not see Kevin on the list anywhere. But
we're so original.
Yeah.
White Claw is up there. White Claw is White very Claw. High. So is the name Taylor and Evermore and in Midnight.
Evermore?
Evermore.
So as maybe. It like Led Zeppelin Evermore?
Yes, yes.
Side note, I think Guinness is a great name for a dog.
Guinness isn't a bad name.
That would be good.
Somebody said that. That sounded good. Melissa, you said that. I thought it sounded good. Yeah.
If you do a specific beer name, that's kind of cool. You know, like we kind of touched on there. Unless it's like really
Sam
long.
Adams.
Yeah. None of these IPAs though. You're not naming your dog after one of these IPAs.
St. Pauli Girl might be a little long. Yeah. You know, but
hazy upward spiral.
But you know.
Like Blue Moon. Yeah. Blue Moon. October. Oktoberfest. Blue Moon. Oktoberfest. Get over here.
But like Heineken, you know, that would work.
Yeah.
Beck's,
oh,
maybe.
Works.
Beck.
Yeah,
hey,
I
Beck.
Like that.
Of course, you might, you know, draw a singer-songwriter. But, you know, so Beck, true. Beck. Oh, hey, Beck.
And if you name your dog Heineken, you know what you're going to call him. Heine.
You're going to call him Heine.
You're just going to name him Heine. we need a little bit of before we get to the palate cleanser, one more thing I wanted to get in, because I think this one is a little bit time sensitive, and I think it's too funny. If the next presidential election is this close, God help us all. The small town of Rainier, Washington, near Seattle, had a city council election last month. The two guys running for the seat were Damian Green and Ryan Roth. So why are we talking about this? Well, because they had to do a recount after Ryan won by a single vote.
Close.
He won 247-246. And here's why it's in the news, because Damian could have won, but he didn't vote for himself.
Oh!
I saw that headline.
Oh, no.
He told a reporter it just felt too narcissistic.
Oh, jeez.
It's not clear if he voted for Ryan or wrote someone else in or didn't vote at all. There were six write-in candidates.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Ryan says he also thought about not voting for himself, but his wife convinced him that he should. Without that vote, he and Damian would have tied.
Oh, jeez. Whoa.
The last time the town had a tie, they picked the winner by flipping a coin.
Oh,
To Damien's credit, he's not complaining and says he has no regrets. He plans to run again next time.
I love that.
Well, there you go.
I love the idea, though. That's a very quick recount.
Yeah.
500 votes or so. That's all you got to do. Okay, we're done.
I worry about Damien's political future because as a politician, he did not make a fuss. He did not cry about this. He didn't whine about it. He didn't throw a fit and just stamp there like a little kitten stomping his feet or anything.
Yeah, he's
handling like this adult, like an adult. And I just don't know how he'll do in politics if he's going to handle things this way.
And a political adult?
Yeah.
How can we must stop this man from running again? Stop it.
I hope we have
Please,
more.
How do we get more of him?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I hope we get more and more Damians out there.
Yeah,
Is this, like, as a side note, if you were ever running for something and you could vote for yourself, would you?
It does feel a little weird.
It does. It does. Like, I understand, like, all bets are off and all this, you know, you got everything to win. But something about it does feel a little to me.
To me, it's like you should vote for yourself because it's a confidence thing, really. It's
true.
Like, I'm the best person for the job, so I should really, you know, vote for myself.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be running.
Exactly, yeah.
This is a lot. We do have to separate the. I think my brain's doing this, too. I'm thinking about this as if, like, you could vote for yourself or MVP. That's weird. That feels weird. Politics, and this is a whole different ballgame. All bets are off. We got to get the right people in office here, and if you believe in yourself as a candidate,
you should vote for yourself. Yeah.
I can see that part. We got a palate cleanser coming up for you here, and we got more of that coming up this afternoon from 3 to 4. Join Seth and I for Playmakers. Got a great one lined up for you. We're going to talk some River Kings hockey, talk some local sports. Want to talk of this college football situation that's insane. And got a great segment I want to get into with Seth about the best fits for Shohei Ohtani. Not just the best fits, but where he would be in the batting order, who he'd be batting around. Got some interesting notes there.
We have not spoken about Shohei Ohtani for like two shows, and we cannot do that.
Yeah.
I think that's like in a law now. You have to talk about Shohei Ohtani.
Win a whole two shows.
I know.
And I wanted to get to some, first off, I did want to say a shout out to this community. I heard great things about all the wonderful events we had going on this weekend at this Torpoint
Bus. There were so many.
Yes.
So much stuff. And I heard from people that attended as many of them as they could, that got around. We all know that that scheduling just works that way. Mm-hmm. You know, you plan for this, you don't think anything else is going on that date, and then boom, there's three other events on that day. I give such a credit to so many people that want so badly to get to as many events as they can.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that out of them. And a big thank you to all of them for doing that. A woman in California is going viral after her pet tortoise named Tiptoe just celebrated his 22nd birthday.
All right.
When she was 7, she asked Santa for an African tortoise, and he delivered.
Go Santa.
Yeah. They can live up to 100 years old.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And
speaking of good names, by the way,
Tiptoe is
a great name.
Especially
for a tortoise. And this actually played perfectly into a very good story that I read over the weekend I wanted to bring up to everybody. The oldest living land animal in the world celebrates a birthday today.
Jonathan the tortoise lives on an island in South Atlantic, and he's turning 191.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
He's 200 years old.
His species has an average lifespan of 150.
Jeez. Oh. So even by that standard, he's an old timer.
He's doing well.
Yeah.
I got to say, looking dang good, man.
Yeah, all
looking,
right.
Looking dang good, Jonathan. Looking darn good. What is fascinating about this, and I'm showing this to Seth real quick, there is a actual picture of Jonathan from the 1850s.
Yes.
Like that's with him.
Yeah, and they show a contrast between today and what he looked like back then. Has not changed much, I got to say. I mean, tortoises don't change much. But no, still, that's amazing, though.
Look, I'm not trying to be rude, but I wouldn't be shocked if he had some work done. Because he looks exactly the same.
I know. I mean, exactly, come on.
How cool is that? We have an animal that's been walking this planet for... And here's the other part of this. We think 191 years. When they found...
Right.
Yeah, when they found Jonathan, he was already 50 by estimate. So he could
They
be
don't
older.
Know for sure. Yeah, exactly. He could be older, yeah.
This is a beautiful story. I thought that was really
awesome.
Cool. Big thank you to everybody for joining us today. A special shout out to Tom Heiser for joining us. A big